الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى in the hadith القدسي he said, أنا عند ظني عبدي به. Allah said, I am for my slave as he expects me to be. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, expect the best from your Rabb. Now expectation is based on reciprocity. So we expect the best if we have been giving the best. And that's why the importance of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Having said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also expect in keeping with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu promised. And what we know of what He did. To take the first part, which is, what did He promise? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in Surah Al-Quraysh, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Allah said, worship the Rabb of this bayt, of this house. Worship the Lord of this house. Referring to the Kaaba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and introduced Himself, and who is the Rabb of this Kaaba? فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Who is this? ما هو? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ.
Now, he said that this Rabb is the one who gives you food when you are hungry and who gives you safety when you fear for your safety, when you are in khawf, when you are in fear. Now, if you look at our lives, all the anxiety in our lives is based on these two things. It's either hunger or it is fear. So it's hunger in all its forms, whether it is actual physical hunger, whether it is hunger in terms of, or need. Hunger is need. So need of any kind, whether it's material need, need of wealth, need of knowledge, actual need of food. If you are sick, the need of cure, medicine. And fear is about the future. What will happen to my children? What will happen to me or my family after I die, even while I'm alive? What happens to my business? What about my health? And so on and so on. So all of these are different kinds of fears. So there are fears which are, whatever the source of the fear, maybe it's, state of unrest, politics or war or whatever. But irrespective of that, it is a question of what will happen to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who is your Rabb? He is the one who takes care of these two things. Meaning he is the Rabb who takes care of all your needs, whether it is something you need materially or whether it is a fear that you have about your future. So therefore, what do we expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Kahf about the two orphans, the two young children, the two orphans. Now these two orphans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Abuhuma Saliha. He said their father was a good man. Now, father died, mother died. Those are orphans in the village. And those people, obviously, they are not looked after. They have got whatever problems they have. Now, the father has left a treasure for them. And this treasure is in danger of being discovered by the wrong people. So, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not just send somebody to take care of the treasure. He sends the Nabi of the time, who is a bigger, obviously of the time there is no one bigger than Musa alayhi salam, but even among the Anbiya, he is Ulul Azm, min al Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam to go and repair that wall so that the treasure of those children is safe. The children do not know there is a treasure. They themselves don't know that. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal to them at the right time. So even they don't know it is there. The father who put the treasure there for with the intention that this should benefit my children. He is dead, so he is not there. So who looks after? Again, issue of what do you expect from your Rabb? The father was a salih person, he was a good person. Obviously, he had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let down those who have faith. Then we have the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. For Ibrahim alayhi salam, and in his story, there are multiple examples. But one of the best ones is, where Ibrahim alayhi salam is ordered to take his wife and his newborn baby. Literally newborn baby, who is still, you know, not weaned. And go and leave them in the valley of Bakka. What did he expect? And we know what he expected, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what he was ordered to do, he did. Even to the extent that he did not even explain to his wife why he was doing it. He did not even tell her that, you know, he didn't sort of sit down and have a conversation with her and say, you see, this is what I have to do. I have been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't worry, everything will be fine. Nothing. He did not even tell her everything will be okay. He just did what he was ordered by his Rabb. And see, her expectation from her Rabb, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. What is her expectation from the Rabb? She says, if he has ordered you, then go. Nothing will happen to us. He will not allow us to perish. Again, issue of expectation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu mentioned this also generally for all of us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us on this basis. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this and said,
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you people, those who have transgressed, O you those who have transgressed against yourselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us. Allah is addressing specifically the people who commit sins, which includes all of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we have to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but anyone wants to turn back to Allah, there is nothing to stop the person, no matter at what stage. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? For example, Allah is saying, don't think. And Shaitan puts this in the hearts of people. That supposing you haven't been praying for, you know, all your life, and suddenly you feel like, well, I think I should start praying. And Shaitan says, what's the good of praying now? You know, 70 years of your life, you never prayed. Allah will not forgive you. So Allah is saying, no. Whatever time of your life, if you are getting some good advice from somewhere, follow that good advice. If somebody tells you, follow the sunnah, follow the sunnah. If somebody tells you, follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ahkam, do that. No matter how much you disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not disobey and do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a, Allah will forgive all sins. Innahu huwal ghafuru rahim. Verily, He is the one who is the most forgiving and of forgiving and most merciful. So this is the issue of what do we expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why I remind myself in you, always expect the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other day, one of my friends who's going for Hajj, he told me, please make dua, that we should be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should make easy all the difficulties and trials of Hajj. So I told him, I'll make the dua. It's not haram to make this dua, but to me it sounds very strange. It sounds like a very strange dua, because if I go to your house, I am the guest of Hafiz bhai, and then I'm telling you, please make dua that all the difficulties and so on which I will encounter in his house, that Allah will save me from there. What is my expectation of him as a host? I am your guest, and I'm expecting to have difficulties in your house. What kind of a host is that? Is this our expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do Hajj to his bayt, to his house. And the Hujjaj, what are they called? Zuyufillah. They are called the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guests of Allah. Allah told us, so when you go to the Kaaba, when you are going for Hajj, you are not going on your own. You are going because you have been invited by the Rabb of this Bayt. فَلْيَعْبُدُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطَعْمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. This is the one, this you have been invited by the Rabb of the house who has invited you to his house. So how can we even expect to have difficulties? And that's why I always say Hajj is for the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. जब आशिक माशूक के पास जाता है तो रास्ते का कोई पता नहीं लगता उसको, मुश्किल क्या चीज समझ में आता, मुश्किल क्या होती, वो तो माशूक से मिलने जा रहा है. द वन हु लव्स ही इज गोइंग टू मीट हिज बिलवड. व्हाट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ डिफिकल्टी? व्हाट डिफिकल्टी? ही इज गोइंग टू मीट हिज बिलवड, देयर इज नो डिफिकल्टी. सो व्हेन यू आर गोइंग, व्हेन यू आर आंसरिंग द इन्विटेशन ऑफ अल्लाह सुभानहू व तआला जल्ला जलालहू, somebody has invited you for dinner, somebody has invited you, will you carry your own tiffin when you go? You have been invited for a meal. Now you go, you take your own food. No. If you take your own food, you are doing tawheen of the host. If the host finds you with your own food, your sandwich. As you came to my house, I invited you for dinner. And you bring your sandwich for what? No, I don't know whether I will get food. What kind of a guest are you? I mean, what do you think? I am some kind of fakir who can't feed you. Why did I invite you then? So, whereas asking such a dua is not haram, I'm saying that again. If somebody wants to ask, let them ask. But with me, even making this dua is gustakhi against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a sign that your iman is weak. It's a sign that your iman, God knows where it is. Because you go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you want to make dua, oh Allah, is the difficulty. What difficulty? I was invited in 2008 to speak at the International Hajj Conference. So this is an invitation from the government of Saudi Arabia, from the Ministry of Hajj. So I still remember, I get this phone call from the Saudi embassy in Delhi. And the consul in charge of visa, consular officer in charge of visas. So he phoned me and he said, Sheikh, you have been invited for this conference and so on, and you know, will you accept? So I said, of course. So then I told him, what about the, you know, how do I apply for the visa? So he's telling me, literally, these are his words. He's telling me, Sheikh, please, don't even ask such questions. He says, I'm sorry to say, but this is an insult for us. I mean, this is, don't even ask a question. You have been invited by the king. You have been invited by the government of Saudi Arabia. What visa? What are you talking about? Huh? Why? Don't even ask these things. So I told him, I said, of course, you know, we have to give. So I told him, I said, my wife, of course, how can you come alone? Of course, your wife is invited. I said, what about Hajj? I told you, don't ask, what do you mean Hajj? You have been invited for the Hajj conference. Of course, you will do Hajj as a guest of the King of Saudi Arabia. Why? Don't ask, sir. I said, what should I do? He said, nothing. Just send your passport and we'll stamp the visa. I was traveling. 2 or 3 days later, I was traveling somewhere. So I told him, look, I just have 2 days. The passport to go to Delhi and come back will take longer. He said, I'll do me a favor. This is the man telling me. He said, do me a favor. Get onto a plane today in the morning. He said, morning flight. Catch the morning flight. Come to Delhi. While you and I have tea, your visa will be done and you take the evening flight and go back home. And that's literally what happened. I went there to Delhi. Somebody to receive me. I went to the embassy. Literally, we were sitting there having a cup of tea. He called the man, he said, give the 2 passports, do the visa, come. I did not write an application form. I did not sign anything, nothing. Absolutely nothing. They stamped the visas, the passport came back. He said, here is your passport, here are visas. You please go. We land in Jeddah. There's a big reception committee. They come and meet us and they take us. But my point is that when I'm invited by the king or by the government to a country, and alhamdulillah, Allah has given me multiple opportunities in several countries, not only Saudi Arabia. The last thing in my mind is difficulty with regard to arrival or immigration or what not in that country. The last thing in my mind. Because when you have been invited by the government itself, where is the question of difficulty? But when we are invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to his house, we say make dua for difficulties to be eased. What is our expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. I am saying this not only because of this. I am saying this because, wallahi, one day, we will be invited to meet Him, Jalla Jalalu. We are afraid of the Qiyamah and so on. But wallahi, I will not be afraid of meeting my Rabb. Because He said, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. I will go with the expectation that He will forgive me. Because if He does not forgive me, then how is He غَفُورُ Rahim? We go with that expectation from our Rabb Jalla Jalalu, that we make tawbah and He will forgive us, inshaAllah, understand, because He promised to forgive us. And that meeting with Him, whatever is happening to anybody else, for us, inshallah, for the Muslims, inshallah, it will be a very easy and good meeting. And the dalil is, this is not just me talking from myself, this is the dalil, is the hadith of Rasulullah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, he disappeared. Me, I'm not saying some magic he vanished, but he was not there anywhere. So people were searching for him everywhere. Abu Huraira, everyone was searching. Finally, Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, he thought there is a particular date orchard in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam usually goes to sit, and there is a well there which is, very nice cool water. So Abu Huraira tried to go there, that garden was locked. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu actually crawled through a hole in the fence. And when he went there, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting on the rim of the well. He saw Abu Huraira and he said, go and announce to the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven everybody. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, if I go and make this announcement, they will beat me. I mean, who will believe me? So give me some sign. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take my slippers. He is wearing his, the clogs. So he said, take those as a sign that this is the slippers of the Nabi. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu took the slippers, he put it on his head, and he goes into the market of Madinah, and he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has announced. He's going on his way to the market. He met Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu on the way. Sayyidina Umar said, where are you going? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told me to announce that Allah has forgiven everybody. So Sayyidina Umar said, what's on your head? He said, these are the slippers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he slammed Abu Huraira on his chest and hit him and said, stop this, don't say anything. So Abu Huraira fell down. Because Sayyidina Umar was a big man. So he hit him, so he fell down. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu now turned around, he went back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying. And Sayyidina Umar is with him. He went with him. He said, where is? Because he was also searching for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees this. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So he said, what happened to you? He says, this man hit me, Umar hit me. He said, why did you hit him? He said, Ya Rasulullah, if he goes and makes this announcement to everybody, people will stop doing, they will stop working, they will stop, maybe they will even stop worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah has forgiven them already. So please tell him not to make this announcement. But see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this happened, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused this hadith to be recorded. And he caused this news to be given to us 14 centuries later. So obviously Sayyidina Umar was not able to stop him from going and announcing in the market because the news came 14 centuries later. It has come to us also, alhamdulillah. So we expect the best from our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. We expect His forgiveness. Of course, we will do our best. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us no matter what we do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our ibadah no matter how bad it is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our dua no matter how weak it is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us no matter who we are and what we are, because we love Him and we love nobody else. And because we worship Him and we worship nobody else. And we love His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam above everybody else. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of His majesty and grace, in the name of His mercy, in the name of His forgiveness, to have mercy on us and to forgive us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.